Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. We've been talking concerning the church that we read about in the New Testament, and one of the things that is certainly essential and one of the things that certainly God requires of us is to have unity in the local church. And aside from truth and righteousness and the violation of one's own conscience, the individual Christian should be willing to forego every personal consideration for the sake of peace and unity in the local church. In matters, again, of personal opinion and conscience, there should always be liberality and generosity toward each other. Look with me in Romans chapter 14, and let's begin reading with verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, and not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems everyday alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats to the Lord, and he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So we see then that this passage has to do with matters of personal and private practice, such as the eating of meat. It cannot apply to matters of faith, matters of worship, or matters of practice in the church and the work that the church does without nullifying a principle or a requirement of truth in things that we find revealed in the New Testament. So again, Romans 14 is a matter of personal, private practice that has nothing to do with what God has commanded or any example that we see that is approved of the apostles. So in these matters of personal liberty, a Christian is not to consider himself to the point of causing his brother to stumble. We read that in Romans 14 and verse 13 just a moment ago. A Christian cannot, in the exercise of his personal liberty, in the realm of things that are immaterial to the truth, or in matters of expediency, cause a brother to violate his conscience without sinning. Let's look at a passage in 1 Corinthians in chapter 8. Let's notice, beginning with verse 4, what we read. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so many gods, so-called gods, I'm sorry, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Howbeit, there is not in every one that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worst. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I should make my brother stumble. So we see that when it comes to our exercising our personal liberty, we cannot do so to cause a brother to violate his conscience without sinning. And I believe what we've read here in 1 Corinthians 8, as well as in Romans chapter 14, I believe that it can be summed up in this way. Eating meat that is offered in sacrifice to idols was a matter of expedience. That is, it was immaterial. One who did it was neither the better or the worse for having done so. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 8. If one could eat the meat with a good conscience, fully persuaded that it was permissible before the Lord, it was not wrong for him to do that. That's what Paul was saying in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. He who ate meat in violation of his conscience sinned, according to what we read there in Romans 14, 23, and verses 7 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 8. If one ate the meat with a good conscience, but through the exercising of his personal liberty caused his brother to violate his conscience in sin, then such a one has not acted in a proper manner. That was what was said there in Romans 14 and verse 15. We need to act in a charitable manner toward our brother and in trying to lead our brother in the right direction. But if we lead our brother in what we do and of a personal liberty to violate his conscience and sin, then we've destroyed that brother for whom Christ died, and we have sinned against Christ. That's clearly stated in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. Let me read it again. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. So the sum of all of this teaching is that every Christian should be ready and willing to leave off any matter of personal liberty and anything that's in the realm of opinion or expediency. We need to learn to leave that off for the sake of peace and harmony and for the good of the brethren. That's what Paul teaches, that we should follow after the things that make for peace, Romans 14 and verse 19. So a Christian should be willing to sacrifice his own judgment and his own pride in all things that are not essential to the will of Christ, for the sake of harmony and for the sake of peace. In Romans chapter 15, notice what we read here beginning in verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Notice in the letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let us begin our reading, beginning with verse 28. But if anyone says to you, this is offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all of its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, neither to the Jew nor to the Greek, nor to the church of God. Just as I also pleased all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And we could go on and on with a number of verses along this line. But how do we avoid division? That ought to be something that we as a Christian should always be interested in. We can avoid division by uncorrupted doctrine and sound speech. This is what Paul urged Titus in Titus chapter 2. Notice what he said in verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. And down in verse 7, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to speak of you. We can avoid division by having elders who hold to the faithful word and who are able to exhort in sound doctrine and convince the gainsayers, like is stated also here in the book of Titus in chapter 1 and verse 9. We can avoid division by leaving off our own speculations, our own judgments, our own opinions. We must shun foolish questions. And we must refuse that man who causes division, like we read a moment ago in Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. We can avoid division by handling the word of God aright, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. We can avoid division by refusing to strive about words to no profit, as also said in those verses. And shun profane babbling. Again, all of this is in 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 and 18. But also later on in that same second chapter of 2 Timothy, he says in verses 23 through 25 that we need to refuse ignorant and foolish questions, yet dealing in meekness and forbearance with all. We need to exercise love and hospitality toward each other. And yet, all the while, we need to insist on speaking as the oracles of God, as stated in 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. We need to preserve unity by refusing to teach private opinions and private judgments, as talked about in 2 Peter 1, verse 16, as well as in 2 Peter 2 and verse 2. But do not what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, speaking the same thing. And the only way this can be done is for all of us to confine ourselves to matters of faith that have been divinely revealed. Friends, we see that our time is gone. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.